Janae Angola Jr., the podcast.
A group of reading Word Up magazine, salt and pepper and Heavy D up in the limousine, hanging pictures on my wall. Let's go. Redemption Friday.
There we go. Redemptions. Today is spelled C-H-I-N-E-Y. It's Janae Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golick Jr. and Chinee Agwumike. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Chinee, you can walk into Friday, you feel better already, right?
How was that? You guys graded. Do we have snaps, claps? What was that? We started off the week rough when it came to my lyrical skills, but how was that?
You know what? I'll give you the snaps on that one. I feel good about that one. I feel a lot better about that effort, Chinee. Clearly, you took the feedback, you practiced, and you came out here prepared. That's all we can ask for.
Yep, exactly.
That is all we can ask for here on a Friday. And we have got a lot to get to on this Friday, so I'm glad we came prepared right now because we've certainly got the divisional round of the NFL playoffs coming up. We've got our NFC preview today. We're going to give you our picks for the weekend coming up today. But, Chinee, we have got a lot of movement on the player front. We'll get to in about 10 minutes here. Sound from James Harden. First sound of him in a Brooklyn Nets uniform here addressing what went on and how he got to the situation that ultimately led to the trade that got him with Kyrie and KD in that spot. Pretty compelling sound. You're not going to want to miss from him as he talks of some of the disrespect that occurred in Houston. But we had a coach signing last night, Chinee. You and I finished the show yesterday talking about Urban Meyer being hired as the Jacksonville Jaguars head coach. And then last night, we got the news that Robert Saleh of the 49ers, their defensive coordinator, now going to be joining the New York Jets as their new head coach. And Chinee, I feel like this is the first win that we can really talk about in a long time for the Jets because this is one of those hires. He was a candidate everyone had eyes on. He interviewed or was asked to interview for 6 of the 7 head coaching vacancies and has been talked about for the last couple of years. He seems to bring an energy that this franchise has lacked for a while.
Should I do it? Saleh and the Jets. Finally, there's a win. I was thinking of Robbie and the Jets. Saleh works a little bit better.
Robbie kind of works nice too, actually. I'm feeling both of those.
Saleh and the Jets. Robbie and the Jets. Okay, well, it's really great because you never really see this, Junior, and I think we were attesting to this earlier. Such holistic, yay, good job. This is a good move. Everyone saluting. So much so that Richard Sherman even tweeted, obviously Stanford connection there, tweeted, the New York Jets got a great one. Congrats to them. Literally, people are so excited. I mean, obviously we know the connections with the defensive coach, you know, with the Niners, but it's just fantastic to see a lot of people say, this is a good hire moving forward. And Junior, I think it's really interesting because a lot of people expected the Jets, based on the potential for the picks, to sort of swing for the fences and try to get that number one pick, get the quarterback's coach. And now since you go number two, I think this might actually work better for them, the Jets, in the long run, because you've got a coach that really knows how to start the foundation. And I think he will be inspiring. But most importantly, this is a fresh start where you don't put so much pressure on Sam Darnold and now have options.
Yeah, you have a ton of options, Chinee, and that's probably the right way to frame this. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And those options look like this. Again, in this draft, they have 2 first-round picks at number 2 and number 23. Next year, they've got 2 picks in the first round of the draft. And according to Over the Cap, they've got $71 million in cap space and being able to play Sam Darnold close to the vest. Chinee, you know this in sports. The best thing you can do is control what you can control. And right now, the Jets have to work on what they're going to do with those decisions because this franchise has failed miserably. No one on their roster with Pro Bowl experience at this point in time. Chinee Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio, Mike Golick Jr. and Chinee Agwumike. And when he talks about where they started, Chinee, 32nd in yards allowed before Saleh got there 4 seasons ago. This year, 5th in yards and 17th right now this year in points allowed, which again, the amount of attrition we saw early in this year. Now, San Fran, no doubt, invested a ton on that defensive side of the ball, gave him great players up front to work with in that situation. But I looked at this, Chinee. Andrew Hawkins, who used to work with us here, does a great job at the NFL Network. At Hawk, one of the smoothest Twitter handles around. But he tweeted yesterday, and I think this speaks to what you can count on in this situation. He said, last year I had to survey a dozen-plus players that played for Coach Saleh on behalf of an organization. I don't know if I've ever heard players go to bat for a coach the way every single one of them did for him. Congrats to the Jets. And that's what I mean, Chinee. So often we talk about coaches as, all right, we have a dominant coordinator or a great play caller or someone with a specialty you bring in. But have we not learned right down the road from someone like Sean McVay that the leadership qualities and those intangibles, that ability to galvanize and bring energy, the way it appears that Robert Saleh can and has in this situation, has to be the part that, again, whatever happens, the Jets organization could still screw this up plenty. But at the very least, they've got someone right now that was a bona fide, which we cannot say about when they went in and made the hire for Gase last time around.
Especially, you know, hearing that from Hawk, hearing it from Richard Sherman, it's funny because as I think about Sherm, this is a player's point of view type of player to the T. And for him to speak so selflessly about their man, their leader defensively makes a lot of sense as why this is seen to be by a lot of people a great hire. Now, I'm just curious, Junior, you know, now that they have their coach in New York when it comes to the Jets, what do you think is the best option for them moving forward?
Well, for the Jets moving forward, I think your best option now, I would say a clean start at quarterback generally tends to be the way I align on these things. That's why I'm actually a little more bullish on what's going to happen in Jacksonville with Urban Meyer, who gets to walk in there, draft Trevor Lawrence, and go forward with a quarterback and a coach on the same page. And I think for the Jets, that would probably be the right decision, but ultimately, the right decision is just making sure that Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh are on the same page with what they do going forward and making sure that nobody knows anything. I would expect, Chinay, as many leaks around this situation in the offseason to try and gauge and drum up interest for that number two overall pick to create a ton of value there by uncertainty around what they're going to do. That would make the most sense. But ultimately, for me, I would say a clean start at that position with who you want to go with in the draft would be the best option.
And the issue point there is that his agreement is for 5 years, which actually aligns with Joe Douglas's contract as well. So like you said, nice start for them.
Absolutely. Having your head coach, your GM, and potentially your quarterback on the same page, it's usually always the right move on this one. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. So again, the Jets now filling that vacancy. Jacksonville filling that vacancy. We know Atlanta Falcons have extended an offer to Arthur Smith, the offensive coordinator. What happened? What'd I do?
No, keep going. I just want to make sure you do this.
I thought for sure that I said something stupid, which is very possible for me at all times.
Not at all.
Arthur Smith, the Tennessee Titans offensive coordinator, offered the job by the Atlanta Falcons. So waiting to see what happens with that. And we can have a conversation coming up about the best of the rest right now as the NFL coaching vacancies start to close up. But coming up next.
Come on, do it.
We got to get to this. We have heard sound today from Harden. Harden and the Nets.
Yes. Harden and the Nets.
You sounded a lot better than me on that
Harden
one. So why don't you do the tease, Chinay? Coming up next, we've got
Harden and the Nets.
Sound you're going to want to hear from the newest superstar in New York. Next on Chinay and Gold Jr. on ESPN
clip.
Radio.
Chinay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
See, you started today, or maybe better yet, must hear. As we've got James Harden at the podium for the first time as a Brooklyn Net. Fireworks already starting. It's Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chinay Agumake. And Chinay, we'll get into this later because James Harden claiming he wasn't disrespectful in Houston, and we'll hear that. But another Houston superstar appears to be ready to fire up the take machine now that James is out of town. How about Deshaun Watson picking up right where Harden left off, tweeting out 51 minutes ago, I was on 2, then I took it to 10. For anyone that forgets, Adam Schefter tweeted out last weekend, one source said this week after Houston traded Pro Bowl wideout DeAndre Hopkins last offseason, Deshaun Watson anger level was, quote, a 2. This time, it's a 10. I'm not saying, I'm just saying, Janae.
When lyrics are actually literal feelings, that's impressive. Well done, Deshaun. Just stay with us. Just stay. Don't leave.
He's going to push them as far as he can in this situation. And see, because Chinay, what he saw, and again, we're way far away from that Deshaun conversation, but we just finished it in the Harden conversation, and he proved once again that the squeaky wheel gets the grease in these spots. James Harden landed himself that trip to Brooklyn now with the Nets. And now we got his press conference today. Him and Kyrie Irving expected to make their debut. This trio expected to make their debut on Saturday, I believe. Correct, Chinay?
Yes. Everyone knows, and he himself included, probably knows he's not in tip-top shape. And now that he's motivated tag teaming with a big three that can potentially be the best team out of the East and rival, you know, the Lakers potentially in the NBA Finals, he's going to be all right. He's going to play himself into shape.
And that's not the part people are worried about. But, Chinee, before we can move forward with that, because there's interesting questions about Kyrie Irving, who was fined $50,000 again right now for what was deemed an unexcused absence by the NBA. And this, in addition to the game check, so it puts that number up near what, Chinee? It's like 800 grand?
Let's talk about the money, because your girl all this past week and ever since I've seen that viral video keeps saying where the money resides, where the money resides. And everyone's like, oh my goodness, right now, Kyrie Irving, $900,000 is basically what he's up against. The NBA fined Kyrie Irving $50,000 for violating the coronavirus safety protocols. And based on the two games he missed during the 5-day quarantine, he, according to our own ESPN front office insider, Bobby Marks, will lose $816,000 in addition to the $50,000 fine, which puts him near $900,000, almost $1 million in fines for the situation in which he had to step away from the game for whatever reason that is. Now, let me put that into perspective again. Kyrie Irving lost $900,000 based on the situations we followed the last week or so. His career earnings, Junior, $158 million. $158 million is how much Kyrie has earned to date. And now, you know, that fine right now is sitting at $900,000. So while a lot of people say, oh, he's going to be really motivated to get back the court, I mean, this is a million out of 158 that he's truly amassed. And in the future, I mean, I think he's going to be out there soon. And so he will have an opportunity to get back on track. But I just thought the money was actually fascinating here.
I can say, you know what? It's nice to be that rich, but that still hurts the pocket a little bit in that situation. And Chinee, I think his reasons for wanting to come back are going to be motivated by a lot more than what we're talking about with money in these spots. If he comes back and they all come back and ball coming out of this, it just starts the redemption story there. That's just the first plot point for them to point back to and say, remember when we had all this strife in this situation? But that's what this situation's been about. It's been about discomfort and strife, especially with Harden in Houston. This was James Harden, again, the press conference earlier today, his first presser as a member of the Brooklyn Nets, talking about any regrets that he may have had about the way the situation with Houston was handled. Take a listen.
Out there, Houston, I've been there for a very long time. I've been through all the ups and downs, you know, with that organization. And I wasn't disrespectful towards anyone. You know, I just made a comment, you know, that the team as a whole wasn't good enough to compete for a title. And, you know, at the stage of my career right where I am now, that's what I would love. You know, and so I wasn't trying to be disrespectful to anybody, especially not to the organization. And like I said, just I'm excited to be here in Brooklyn and, you know, excited for a new start.
But do you regret the way it ended, though? I mean, it's a place that you loved and you had so many highlights.
Yeah, I regret because I'm not the type of guy to, you know, I don't need the attention, especially the negative energy, the negative attention. Like, I've never been that guy. You know, so there were some things I felt like out of my character, but the ultimate goal was to get somewhere, you know, where I can compete. And here I am in Brooklyn. You know, I have nothing but love and respect for that organization, that city, and everything that they've done for me and my family. Much respect.
Now, Chinee, we can debate whether those actions were truly out of character based on the things that we have heard about James Harden in the past, but I particularly enjoyed this idea of no disrespect to the players, even though after 9 games I said, y'all suck too bad to win a title.
Oh, is that what he said? Because I heard something else. But I do understand what James Harden is saying. He didn't come in with the intention of saying, I don't care for these players. I think he came in with the intention this season of making it clear that he wants to play for a contender. And the way he sort of got the attention was literally getting to the podium and saying those things that he said. I literally gave everything to this city. And I really do appreciate my time here, but I don't think this is a contender. The same things that he said in that public press conference, his last one in Houston, were the same things that were there, they were dealing with internally when he was trying to communicate those same feelings and emotions. And I think the patience just wore thin, and that's why all of those things, those were his ways of conveying a message, right or wrong. So when it says disrespecting to the players, I feel like I understand that, but what he did do was sort of disrespect the game and the process, just because in order to send those messages, what did you do? You probably set your team back a little bit more. You had your worst 5-game stretch, you know, trying to send that final message, and the guys in the locker room that showed up in training camp and were ready to work, and your head coach that was trying to contact you, like, that's disrespecting the game to some degree. So I understand him saying, look, the interactions I had with the players, like, they're new and they haven't been through this, but overall, the product on the court did suffer until you got what you wanted. And to me, that's sort of the overall process.
And now we'll see, Chiney, because we will judge them and the actions of both Kyrie Irving and James Harden up till this point based strictly on the win-loss record from here on out. If they ball, all this goes away. And if there is any sign of frustration or any bumps in the road, this stuff will all get bought back up immediately. The
Nets. Junior, let me just say this, because in my process, when I was asking for politely for a move in a trade, it was hard. And sometimes you feel like you have to be the bad guy and you have to, you know, stand your ground, because they otherwise would never want you to leave. And that's why you see all those tactics that happen. But again, different strokes for different folks. And I still got where I needed to be, but it's never easy, especially when you got them millions on the line. So I think it's really fascinating to see how they'll sort of keep things together in the B unit.
Millions and legacies on the line. That's what happens. The Nets are breaking moves by getting James Harden.
Breaking Moves is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports.
You know what? Coming up next, actually, we'll switch gears back to the world of the NFL, because there was a major hire made yesterday that in some ways reminded me of exactly what we saw in Brooklyn not too long ago.
Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Coming up in about 10 minutes, we check back in not only with the biggest name in mixed martial arts right now, an unbelievable sit-down between Ariel Helwani and Conor McGregor coming up this weekend that you'll get an early preview of, but we also get a rant from one of the premier Bills fans as they go into this weekend. Again, Jhené, I'm sure a lot of people looking and picking the Baltimore Ravens right now in this matchup in the divisional between two great young quarterbacks.
Yeah, it's going to be really fascinating to see who he puts in the line of fire today. Is it going to be you? Is it going to be the Ravens? It's likely going to be both.
Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Jhené Egbuamuke. So we will see who Ariel Helwani, our MMA analyst and Bills fan, is going to take out this week from the doubters and the haters as Bills Mafia rolls along into another round of the playoffs. But Jhené, we yesterday on the show, we're on here right at the end when Urban Meyer was announced going to Jacksonville as the Jaguars' new head coach. We had heard those rumblings all day. And it's interesting, Jhené, I think, to look at this a couple of ways, because we talk so much right now, and it's an important issue, and it's something that comes up a lot about the diversity in hiring right now in the NFL. Minority candidates getting more opportunities. And when I was leaving work yesterday, Urban Meyer certainly feels like a part of that conversation because of some of his past impropriety. But it actually made me think in some ways of what we saw and what we talked about with Amin Alhassan, who was a great NBA insider for us here, of what we saw in Brooklyn with Steve Nash, a guy who came in here, did not have the credentials on the NBA level as a coach yet, as a head coach or as someone as an assistant coach, but Hall of Fame resume as a player, a guy who's incredibly smart and knowledgeable of the game, coming in a way people kind of understood in this spot. And I think it's fair to look at Urban Meyer and say, of the candidates coming in right now, people we'd seen like Cliff Kingsbury in past years, Matt Rhule, Urban Meyer comes into this scenario with a great deal more experience and a much deeper resume on the college side going into this situation now, even though he hasn't been a coach at the NFL level. You can certainly see why, relative especially to what we've seen, that this is something that was going to be unavoidable when Urban demonstrated this level of interest.
Yeah, this is really fascinating when you start unpacking all the layers of exactly what you just mentioned when it comes to diversity and hiring, which is why I think Robert Saleh's hiring was such a home run for so many people, because he became the first Muslim to be head coach in the NFL. And so now you flip the script to Urban Meyer, who has a great reputation when it comes to football and the winning percentage, and now is going to make that professional transition to the professional ranks, literally. But, you know, the fascinating layer here to me is, you know, what helped Steve Nash in his instance in Brooklyn when he got hired, in amidst, you know, a lot of the social justice conversations, when it said, like, you have Black players that are advocating for their communities, and we want to make sure we have the hiring and the league, especially when it comes to coaches, and even pushing for ownership to reflect that same standard. And now in comes Steve Nash, even though he has a great, you know, reputation as a player. And I think it's fascinating because the players, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, gave that validation, saying, this is the guy we wanted. And that's the way we want the world to be. You know, we want the best candidate to get the job, where, you know, race does not become a factor, but we have a long way to go. And I think, you know, especially with Robert Saleh, we're excited to see those type of steps being made in totality. But when it comes to Urban Jr., I think it's fascinating because, you know, while many point to his transgressions, I think it's interesting that I feel like this hire, with such a big name and huge pedigree when it comes to college football, you're now getting one of the generational talents, the best quarterback prospect that a lot of people said since Andrew Luck, my guy. You're now tag teaming with the comfort zone, saying, look, I just came from the college game too. I'm one of the greatest there.
Yep.
And now you yourself, Trevor Lawrence, you're one of the greatest stepping into this role. We can figure this out together. Now, the difference is the leadership that you had when it comes to superstar NBA players is completely different. But now you have two guys that sort of have the same lens and perspective, and they both have a lot to prove with a tall task ahead. So I think that's the underlying thing that was actually intriguing.
It is, because you're right. All of these players right now, this is a young roster in Jacksonville, a lot of recent draft picks on this roster, and certainly at that quarterback position you're talking about, that grew up when Urban Meyer was dominating college football. Now, again, we acknowledge the off field things that are a part of Urban Meyer's story all along the way, but they saw him winning the Heisman Trophy, having Tim Tebow win the Heisman Trophy, multiple titles at Florida, the title at Ohio State, and one of his former players, Cardale Jones, their former Ohio State Buckeyes quarterback, was a part of that run in the first year of the college football playoff, was on with Keyshawn J. Will and Zubin, and he brought up something that you mentioned there with Steve Nash and with those players, the ability to connect, something that people wondered about a college coach going to the NFL. Cardale Jones says, you need not worry.
I think it goes back to that motivating factor, and he found what make guys tick, and he found what pushes guys. I mean, if it's a competitive thing that's pushing them with another guy in the room, or if it's a family thing, or if it's a pride thing, whatever it may be, he got a great way of connecting with players and making you feel like, man, I don't want to just lose this game I just don't want to just not perform for my team, but I don't want to let my guy down, my head coach down. You know, he got an unbelievable way of connecting with guys that really make you feel of, almost like you owe him. It's just a crazy feeling playing for a guy like that, that you definitely kind of want to make proud.
Jhené Ngolo Jr. here on ESPN Radio, brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. So a lot to wait and see on that. The one thing that we can get into at some point is, can they bring any sort of real attention to Jacksonville? We saw Tampa Bay get the boost from Tom Brady, markedly bigger resume, but you've got two big names from the college ranks in Urban and Trevor Lawrence making their debut soon for Jacksonville. Again, we assume Trevor Lawrence is going there because, my God, is there a safer thing to assume?
Everyone assumes maybe if he's like me, he doesn't himself.
that is true. From a former number one overall pick in Chinea Gumbake, who everyone else was aware was going number one, except for her. So maybe at some point we can get Trevor Lawrence back on the show, friend of the program, and prepare him for that moment so he's not as caught off guard as you were in that spot. But coming up next, we got a fight all the way around this weekend. UFC and Bills Mafia, and we got the perfect guy to cut a promo for us next. It's Jhené Ngolo Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Jhené Ngolo Jr., the podcast.
Ngolo Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Ngolo Jr., Jhené Ngumbake, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline right now. A little bit of NFL breaking news here, courtesy of our own Field Gates, who tweeted that Seahawks wide receiver Josh Gordon's conditional reinstatement has been rescinded, and now he's suspended indefinitely yet again. So, Jhené, certainly the Seahawks season over, and this story is always kind of been something in the background right now as we wait and see, but it's certainly sad. Josh Gordon's a person that, regardless of the football aspect of this, you were kind of using as a measuring stick for hopefully things going better in his life, and if this is anything that sounds like a setback, it certainly kind of breaks your heart again for a guy that's struggled so much to try and get back on track.
It really does, and when it comes to the NFL, I think it's really been interesting to see how they've extended his example as a period of grace, saying that, you know, we're going to be patient with you and you're processing your time, and hopefully he'll still keep fighting if that is the setback that we can sort of see implied.
Yeah, so again, we're going to wait and see more news on that situation. But again, per our own Field Yates here at ESPN, Seahawks wide receiver Josh Gordon, conditional reinstatement rescinded. He is now suspended indefinitely again. So, Chinay, that is, again, something we don't get to talk about as much this weekend. The Seahawks aren't playing right now as we go on to the divisional round of the playoffs here, but it is an exciting weekend coming up. We'll get to our NFC preview and kickstart that in just about a half hour here as we start to look. I mean, the two biggest games on the weekend, you could argue, are certainly Kansas City getting rolling, which we talked about yesterday, but the Saints and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on one side, and then the other NFC matchup that Dan Orlovsky came on, and Chinay, I couldn't agree more. Maybe the most underrated on the weekend, what we're going to see with Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers going up against that LA Rams defense that's got to overcompensate for a quarterback with a pin in his thumb right now.
Yeah, that's exactly. You know, everyone's like, who are you going to take? I was like, well, I probably will go with the guy who has two healthy thumbs, because that's really important when throwing the ball. But, you know, thinking of that matchup, and especially today as we preview the NFC as we did yesterday, the AFC, it's the number one defense versus the number one offense. You can't ask for strength on strength, you know, in a better way that you're going to literally see it tested each and every play and possession whenever it's out there. So I'm excited for that one. I do think that Aaron Rodgers has something really going, not just with his production on the field, but also the motivation, you know, after, you know, getting a new draft pick and now looking over his shoulder and now coming for his third MVP and I believe a second championship. So it'll be fascinating to see how these guys and the weather, like the weather is going to be a huge factor as well.
Absolutely. Chinay, I couldn't agree with you more on the Aaron Rodgers front here, a 37-year-old quarterback on the cusp of winning another MVP and potentially another Super Bowl, and the Green Bay Packers still now in a position where they've got to think about moving on from him with a first-round quarterback. I'm not sure, but we'll get to that again. Our NFC preview going to get started in the next hour here on Chinay and Golic Jr., but we're delighted now to head to the Goodyear Hotline and be joined by a man who at this point might need no introduction, but I'm going to give him one anyway right now. Our ESPN MMA expert and resident Bills Mafia leader in this one, alongside Christine Lisi here. Ariel Helwani joins us now on the Goodyear Hotline. Ariel, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing well, but you just wasted time, because you're right, Golic Jr. You don't need to introduce me, and we could stop talking about the NFC, irrelevant to this conversation. We could talk about the weather, because that will be relevant to the conversation Saturday night, when once again my Buffalo Bills lay the smackdown, this time on the Baltimore Ravens and Lamar Jackson, who's never played in snow before, shockingly. To be honest, I'm also shocked that you guys called me today, because I noticed you were snickering. I noticed you were laughing at me last week. I noticed it. I felt it. I felt it that you guys thought we had no chance against the Colts. So I will sit back and shut up now and wait for both of you. Today I like you, but I'll wait for both of you to apologize to me and Bills Mafia. Go ahead.
In all fairness, I took y'all against the Colts. It's Ariel Helwani, ESPN MMA insider, and obviously Bills fan here on Chinay and Golic Jr. on ESPN
Radio. I want
Radio.
The clip. I want to hear the clip of you taking
Oh, you want the
receipts? Right now.
Okay. We'll get you those receipts next week after you guys handle your business as you... Oh, yes. Preach. Shout. Not stop. Shout. Okay. Now, Ariel, is there anything about the Ravens that actually has you concerned, though? Because I know you put forth a lot of gusto and you believe, but if there's someone that might be nervous and is a Bills fan, what would that person be concerned about?
Yes, I will be honest with you. I will leave the bravado aside for just a second. I'm nervous about one thing and one thing only. I'm nervous about the fact, I'm anxious about this. Will we win like 52-20, or will we win like 52-10? Will it be a total smackdown, or will it be somewhat close in the first quarter, and then we're going to run away with it deep into Saturday night, and they will be rocking at Ralph Wilson Stadium, my friends. They will be rocking in the snow. The lake effect snow is coming in. I spoke to the meteorologist over there in Western New York. There is nothing. And let me repeat for all the people in rush hour right now. Is rush hour still a thing? Do people still drive to work? I don't know, but let me repeat it. There is nothing. Absolutely nothing that worries me about the Baltimore Ravens. They squeaked by against Tennessee. Lamar Jackson has done absolutely nothing in the playoffs in his great career. He has never faced a defense like the Bills' defense, and he has never faced a quarterback like Joshua Allen, the best quarterback to come out of the 2018 draft. You heard it right here. Bills winning about 52-20, and then we are marching on to either Arrowhead, or we'll just sit back and wait for the Browns, the sad sack Browns, to come to Western New York, because we all know the Browns is the Browns, and then we'll waltz right into the Super Bowl.
Ariel Helwani with us here on Chené and Golic Jr. with big shades of, I'd like to apologize for absolutely nothing in the way that he has gone in to this weekend. And Ariel, while we do want to get you on here again, as the Bills roll on here, we're going to honor our commitment to you. I do have to ask you, we got about a minute left here, about what you were getting ready for it to air.
You always put me up against the clock at the end. You always do that to try to silence me. Okay, go ahead.
Did you learn anything that you didn't already know by sitting down? You've got a great sit-down, a one-on-one interview with Conor McGregor as he gets set to make his return to UFC this weekend. It's going to air on Sunday. I want people to go and watch it, but is there anything you learned there that surprised even you with what you know about Conor at this point?
Yes, it was a different Conor. It was the most calm, cool, and relaxed Conor McGregor that I've ever talked to in 8 years covering him. And you know what? You know what, Gold Jr.? It reminded me of calm, cool, collected Josh Allen in the pocket throwing darts to Stephon Diggs all Saturday night. That's what it reminded me of.
Wait, Ariel, is there any chance he ever fights Jake Paul, by the way?
Yeah, there's a better chance of him fighting Jake Paul than the Ravens beating the Bills. Let me tell you that. There is absolutely no chance of either things happening, but if you want to give a better chance of something, it's Paul versus McGregor, because there ain't no chance the Baltimore Ravens are coming into Buffalo and winning on Saturday night. You can put it on the board next Friday around this time. We shall laugh about this and talk about the AFC Championship.
And that's on Mary Had a Little Lamb.
As usual, electric stuff. We are going to have Ariel on as long as the Bills keep rolling through the playoffs. And if his confidence is any indication, that's going to be right up to Super Bowl Sunday Tampa. Ariel, we appreciate the time and insight. We're looking forward to that interview with Conor on Sunday. Thanks, brother.
It was your honor, guys. Peace out.
Ariel Helwani joining us on the Goodyear Hotline. Again, comparisons aside, he has got a one-on-one sit-down with Conor McGregor as he gets set to make his MMA return. That interview is going to air this Sunday. Everyone make sure you check that out right now, Chené. But yeah, safe to say he has got plenty of confidence in gusto. Christine Lisi is somewhere baking up a storm right now. Our SportsCenter update leader extraordinaire.
What did she promise? What was the dessert she promised?
Well, yeah, the dessert she promised was some sort of s'mores cookie dough brownie in this instance. And yet I walk in here today and now I'm concerned because I didn't see anything from Christine Lisi. We hope she is okay. We hope she is preparing, like Ariel, for the Bills game this week. And against the Ravens, again, could be another weekend where the best game of the weekend involves the Baltimore Ravens, this time against the Air Raid Bills.
I mean, that or the History Channel. Between the Saints and the Bucks.
That is true. All right, we've got that preview coming up in about a half hour here as we get started in the NFC playoff preview going into the divisional weekend. But coming up next, we have coaching vacancies still, the biggest name and the biggest job left out there now, next on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Chené and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.